How are you?
I'm great.
I don't know why. I like to start the podcast asking how you are.
I know. I mean, you didn't ask when you got home. So.
Eh?
Well, you know, I mean, it's okay.
I think I was getting sprayed down for the corona.
Now we have to start over because you brought up the coronavirus.
You brought up me coming home. Yeah. So, hey, what's up, guys?
Hello.
Man, it's good to be here. It's good to just talk about the Word of God. It really takes my mind away from everything else that's going on in the world when we could just sit here and do a focus and then really focus on things that are going to build us, things that are going to grow us. Tonight, we're going to continue the story of Ruth, kind of in this idea of works, that she actually worked. It wasn't like she just came along for the ride.
And she did it so quickly. You see there when she and Naomi first arrive, it's the beginning of the barley harvest. And then still during the barley harvest, she asks Naomi, can she go glean? It wasn't months or years before she worked up the courage to do something. She decided that she was going to serve her mother.
It's really neat in that portion too. It kind of makes me think, you know, when we take that verse in James 2:17, where it says, see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. I mean, that's been annihilated so many times. But I think in this story, we'll be able to kind of dial that in and give people an understanding of what this works idea is really about. It's really not self-centered. It's selfless.
Yeah.
It has a serving mind frame to it. Even Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand. I love that. We could sit here and say, oh yeah, you know, it's my, you know, I came to Jesus and now I'm working. Really though, he prepared all that. He knows the design. He knows the direction. He knows your heart and where it's going to be and what season it's going to be there and how you're going to respond to that. I love that. I love actually not having the control.
Yeah, it's very comforting to know that he's planned it all out, that he's set things in motion that take into consideration all of time. Yeah. And everybody's actions, right. That kind of omniscience really allows me to trust him and not have that anxiety about what I have to do next and trying to figure out the whole plan.
Yeah, I could sit and spin wheels forever on that sometimes until I finally just sit there and go, okay, Lord, fine. It's you.
It's good to remember because right. I mean, I forget too. Everybody forgets, but it's good that we have it to remember. Some people don't know it, so they can't remember it. And so they're stuck in that anxiety forever.
Ruth made a choice, but she said, wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I live. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. See, she made this commitment. You know, when we came to Christ, we made the commitment. We might not know how to live in that all the time, but we made a commitment. You know, in Leviticus, they kind of set the stage for it. And it's like, you shall leave this for the poor. There was scraps that they would purposely leave for poor people. So see, Naomi is already and Ruth are already knowing that like they don't have anything. Right from the get-go, it's kind of like, well, I got to rely. But you know what? Ruth didn't sit there and say, oh, man, I don't want to go out there. I don't want to. No, she has this idea of like, man, I want to feed my mother. Mm-hmm. You know, by that time, it's kind of cool. I think that they're already building this mother-daughter relationship. It kind of transpires. Naomi's already said it once, my daughter. And then in this next verse in Ruth 2, where we kind of start this off in this idea, it's like, so Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. It wasn't like, go, my daughter-in-law, go, my this. So this is like the second time that you read this. Go, my daughter. See, this relationship is building. It's kind of like our relationship with Christ. You know, it's like, unless you understand this relationship, you don't understand the work. Works comes from the relationship and wanting to serve.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, and we've talked about this a lot, the faith without works is dead. They feel like, well, you know, it's not about works. Salvation's about faith. And absolutely, salvation is about faith. But anything you believe manifests physically. If you're happy, it's going to dictate the following actions. If you're sad, if you are amused, if you're depressed, regardless of what is in your head, it's going to manifest somehow. And so that's kind of what we see in this story a lot, her need to provide for somebody that she loves. And so it manifests as actions, and actions are work. That's one of the biggest things that trips people up is, you know, I don't see any works. And I'm not saying that there's any specific things that you need to be looking out for, but just in your own life, if you're questioning where you're at with God, just look at what you're doing. Is what you're doing showing what you believe? Do you really believe what you know about God? Or are those just things that kind of pass through your head and then you move on with your day and you're still in complete control of your own what have you? Or do you really believe, and that's manifesting? Because you can't help it. You know, if you believe a chair is going to hold you, you're going to sit in it. Same thing with the Lord.
Okay, I'm going to bring in John F. Kennedy for a minute, because he has this awesome statement. Of course, y'all, I'm ex-military. I still work for the Army, so you know a little bit more about me now. But I work for God, too. But God comes first, Army comes second. Don't tell my bosses at work. Or actually, let them know, because I've had enough of that anyways. But no, John F. Kennedy kind of puts it in this sense. He says, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Sometimes we sit here in this mind frame of asking, and it's like, no, wait, what can I do for God? What can I do from Christ? And you know, in that move of saying, God, what can I do? Show me. It brings fruits of labor. This is kind of a portion in the story where Boaz shows up, and he could have been anyone, but it was Boaz. You know, this is where that kinsman redeemer kind of comes into play. It's like, all of a sudden, that's the field that she happens to be in. There's no idea in there implanted that it was, you know, set up. It's just, she's going to go out and work. But here he comes. He comes on scene. And you know, it's like, now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. I love those beginnings. I love the fact that right up front, there's an establishment. There's something deeper in this man than just a man who owns fields. That says something.
Godly man.
Godly man. Man, a godly man. Single ladies, wait for that godly man.
Amen.
Amen.
It's worth it.
Here the interest begins. We know where this story goes. It ends in a relationship that carries on through generations to Jesus. You know, so that's an amazing thing. But he comes in and says, hey, Lord, Lord, you know, it's like, wow. It's not like, hey, boss. Nope. Lord be with you. Lord be with you too. It's an establishment. It establishes the healthy man. So it's like he comes in, of course, he starts asking his people, you know, this is, you know, the game. I love the game. Oh, actually, I hated the game in my life, but this game I like because it's biblical and like it works out.
Right.
It works out awesomely. And my past, sometimes the game didn't work out so awesomely. Although it worked out awesome in my marriage.
Amen.
Amen. And he walks out. He's like, who is this? Who is this woman? And they're probably like, oh, that's Ruth. You know, that's Naomi's daughter-in-law. And of course, you know, he's got to make the approach, right? He starts talking to her. Hey, you know, they get a little conversation going on. And then it gets down to the nitty gritty. I love the nitty gritty. It's like, do not glean in another field. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap. In other words, stay here, woman.
Yes.
Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you?
Most valuable part of everything he said.
Right. And then he carries on. He says, when you are thirsty, go to the vessel and drink. I mean, these are hit on words. I'm sorry. But hey, Bible is full of love. Bible is full of beautiful relationships. How do they start? Here she was poor and gleaning, and here was the man who owned it. And she says, though, why have I found favor in your eyes? That you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner. She kind of throws out this humbled position when she meets him. This idea of, well, who am I? I mean, don't we think of ourselves that way sometimes? Like, why do I have this? Why did God give me this? Sometimes I sit across from my wife and I'm like, how did I get it? How did I end up with this? And it's amazing.
I ask the same thing, to be honest with everybody. He's a really great guy. I love what happens next when Boaz is saying that he knows of everything she's done for her mother-in-law since the death of her husband, because it shows not just how good of a job she might be doing gleaning there in the field. Her reputation preceded her. Mm. And her reputation was based off the good works that she had done, the love that she had for her mother-in-law. And she's showing that here. You don't know if people are watching. People see.
Right.
And it says something when you don't do it for people, because it shows your heart.
Yeah, I like that. You know, she comes with, I'm just a foreigner. And yet he knows so much more. Mm-hmm. You know, like we come to God sometimes in that position. Like, I think sometimes it stops our ability to work. It stops our ability to move forward until we understand this position with the Father. Like, he looks down at us and we sit there. I know I have. From the drifter from Christ back into Christ, you know, sometimes I would sit there and say, why me? Who am I? I'm just nothing. Why would you want to use me? And then he turns around and he gives me so much more. He shows me, he says, but look, I've been watching. Yeah, maybe you weren't the perfect, but I know your heart.
I've set this for you.
Right.
You know, and it says in Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. When you're working in his will, you're working in the plan he has set aside specifically for you, which encompasses everything good and godly about you and everything that isn't perfect, everything that isn't good, all the things that you won't do right. He's taken it all into account and it's still the best plan for you.
Right.
So when you're working and committing your work to the Lord, things end up making sense in retrospect because you're playing to his hand.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm thinking about that. I'm kind of, something's in here. Something's really, sometimes I sit here, y'all, I'm just gonna let you know. And the Holy Spirit's like, hey, outward expression, right? Now becomes an inward impression. I know works gets beat up. I know works, like, what do you do at the church? What do you do at this? But watch this, open your Bible is a work.
Turning to him when you're struggling is a work.
Yes. And but what does that do? The more that I open the word of God, the more I work at understanding the word of God, it becomes an outward expression. See, it was inward expression, right? Outward to inward expression, back out to an expression to people.
Right.
Because that's where it all boils down to. Are we showing ourselves as people who love, believe, and trust in God? Are we showing ourselves as people who love our God and therefore love our neighbor?
Right.
It's really a beautiful thought. And see, all this wraps itself up, right? Wraps itself up and it keeps going into the story, right? And we get to the mealtime. Because, you know, he sees something. He sees something so much greater than what she saw in herself. I'm a foreigner. But he's like, no, there's something worth it here. I like that too. So her works transpires into a relationship, right? And that relationship turns into going back to God and saying, if it's thy will. And so see, all of this is transforming out of this works idea. I'm not working to receive something that I can never earn. I'm working for a betterment of the kingdom.
She went there to get food, to feed Naomi and herself. She didn't go looking for a guy. She didn't go because she had some 12-step plan. She just knew what they needed in the moment.
Right.
And I love it because so often people are focused on waiting on God to give them this grand master plan where they're going to know everything. They're not going to be in the dark about anything. And until they get that from the Lord, they're just kind of sitting there twiddling their thumbs and waiting.
Right.
And when you're, like it said in Proverbs 16, you know, when you commit your work to him, right, it's things as simple as going to provide for your family will lead you down the path. And you don't need to know every step. She had no way of knowing that that's where it was going to end up.
Right. Right. And he blesses her.
Big time.
See, I jumped ahead on some things with the relationship and where it goes. But when you go back to where they were at, it was just the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, he came in. She had that moment of like, who am I? I'm going to say it again. I know I'm repeating it because a blessing came from it. Now, it wasn't a blessing of marriage at the moment. It wasn't a blessing of hooking up. It wasn't a blessing of getting, you know, everything that they wanted in life. But he turns around and he tells his men, hey, look, let her glean even among the sheaves and do not reproach her. Do not do anything against her. Do not treat her like a foreigner. Do not treat her any different than the people who already work for me. Also, let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean and do not rebuke her. I love that.
It makes me think of, I'm a big Proverbs person, but it makes me think of two other verses. In Proverbs 13, in verse 4, it says, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Mm. She had the soul of the diligent. She went out to provide for herself and hers and was richly supplied back, not just with things that she, like her wildest dreams, but on a spiritual level too, that they don't really go into directly here. But she has just come and joined this belief system. She's just recently committed to this God. And now she's being so richly blessed because she wasn't waiting for someone else to provide. She didn't say, Naomi, you're older. You're the mom. You take care of me. She actually was like, no, I'm going to humble myself and take care of you. And then in Proverbs 12:24, it goes back to that. The hand of the diligent will rule while the slothful will be put to forced labor. Mm. Not saying that the slothful is always straight up forced by somebody else. But as long as you feel like works are a chore, you'll feel this external pressure. Right. Oh, I have to do this or I'm not saved. I have to do this or other people will question my salvation. I have to do this or I'm not a good Christian. It has nothing to do with that. It's really about when you're diligent, you rule with God in that sense. Right. You know, you're under his protection, under his blessing because you're allowing him to bless you.
No, I like that. I like that. You know, we need to be a light. Our works actually demonstrate that light. Our works demonstrate who our God is. When it's pure of heart, I like the fact that you said that our works can't be something that binds us. It has to be something that is freely given. He freely gave to us. Why wouldn't I want to freely give? Why wouldn't I want to be that light? Why wouldn't I want to be like Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father.
That's exactly what Ruth did.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's been awesome. And we will get back with you next time. Yep. So just remember thepantrypodcast.com. That's hard to say, guys. did not think that through early on, but, let us know what you're thinking and drop us a prayer request. We'd love to hear from you guys.